Mr. Atkind, Reel 1. Mr. Atkind, can you give me your name and date of birth, please?
Michael Atkind, 9th of March, 1925.
Mr. Atkind, could you tell me a little bit about your family background? For instance, mother, father's occupation and the amount of children in the family, brothers and sisters.
My father was an accountant. My mother was a teacher. I had an older brother who was 4 years older. A younger sister who was 2 years younger. And still a younger brother who was about 3.5 years younger than myself.
What were their names?
The oldest brother's name was Jacob. My sister's name was Henka. And my younger brother's name was Lolek.
Were you close to your brothers and sisters? Were you a close family?
Well, there was a difference between my older brother and myself for 4 years. I wasn't all that close to him. And my younger brother, not so close, but I don't know how to... Well, we were just normal brothers and sisters.
Can you tell me a little bit about the area in which you lived and where you were born?
My mother came to lodge probably at the beginning of the century. She was born in a part of Poland, near Vilno, which is now Russia. And my father was born in Russia, in Mogilev, in a town called Mogilev. And he was in the Russian army during the First World War. And he was captured by the Germans. And he spent 2 years in German captivity. And when he was released, it was during the Russian Revolution, and he stopped in Lodz and met my mother, and they got married. My mother was educated in a Russian gymnasium. This was a high school in Russia. She she spoke fluently Russian, Polish, French, German, and Esperanto, and also Yiddish. And she had the highest education that a woman could achieve in those days. She had a silver medal from the gymnasium, which meant she was a top teacher, top student. According to my relative, she should have got a gold medal, but being Jewish, she got the second best.
Was it a recognized fact that that kind of anti-Semitism was practiced?
Well, that was still under the Russians. You see, Poland was always divided, and for many years divided between the Russia and Germany and Austria. And for a while she was a headmistress of a girls' school, but then she decided it was because of the 4 children she does of teaching. It was a girls' school, a Jewish school, but a public school in the true form. No, not a private school. My father was an accountant. He spoke Russian and German because of the years in captivity, and Yiddish and German are similar languages. But he was more self-educated. We were well off. He had stocks, and he was the chief accountant to many textile firms. Lodz was a textile city, similar to Manchester. And he became the chief accountant to quite a large number of big Jewish firms. He had stock and shares in the companies. So financially we were well off. My mother didn't need to teach, but she still continued until, as far as I remember, all the time. We would spend, we were not short of anything. We lived in a fairly large apartment in Lodz. We would spend 3 months in the summer on holidays outside Lodz. That was June, July and August of every year.
Where would you spend these holidays?
Not too far away from Lodz in the countryside. We would take a cottage for the whole summer, like self-catering holiday. And the maid would come with us. My father would come for the weekends. He was working during the week and would come on Friday night. We were not religious in the true sense. I was brought up as a vegetarian, which was very unusual in Poland. And that was because of my mother, whose father was influenced by Tolstoy, who became a vegetarian. And I was told they used to correspond. My grandfather died before I was born, but he used to write the Tolstoy, and he was influenced by his teaching.
So he corresponded with Tolstoy?
Yes.
And became converted to vegetarianism?
And there were 3 sisters and a son, and two of the daughters, if my mother was one of them, continued the vegetarian diet, which was very uncommon in Poland.
Did your father follow the vegetarian diet?
My father did follow it, probably a little reluctantly. My father was more, didn't want to be so different from other people. But he wasn't so religious either. He would fast once a year and take me to the synagogue maybe once or twice a year. But he worked even on Saturday, so we were not religious.
Did you go to Jewish schools?
Not to start with. I went to a private school to start with, which was the best sort of Polish school. There were only myself and another Jewish boy. I wasn't happy in that school. I started when I was 6 years old. I wasn't very happy in the school. I was moved to another school, which was again a Polish school, with very few Jewish boys. It was a boys' school. But then we moved to another area. And then at one stage my mother wanted to send me to a Jewish school, Katzenelsona, which was a well-known private Jewish school. But by then my Hebrew was not up to the standard. And although I was accepted to this school, I didn't want to go there.
This was in another area of Lodz?
Another area of Lodz. And I went to a public school, again a Jewish school, but it was a free school, no longer a private school. And I stayed there until the outbreak of the war. I went there because I met a friend on holidays, and somehow I said I want to go to that school as well, and my mother agreed.
What were the differences between the Jewish school and the Polish schools that you'd been to previously?
Well, the private schools were the two private schools where I went to, the number of Jewish boys was very small, maybe 5%, maybe or thereabouts. And the teachers I found in the first school were anti-Semitic. Somehow I didn't like the discipline. It was based on a very military. Even when I was 7 or 8, we wore uniforms and we were taught to shoot. I didn't mind that, but somehow I didn't like the strict regime.
In what way were the teachers anti-Semitic? Are there any instances you can...
I could give you an instance. Because my mother was a teacher, and she would now and then bring slides home, and I would sort of watch them, observe them. I knew answers to certain questions that we were asked, and I remember that very similar slides were being shown in the school. This was my second year, and the teacher asked, what is that slide? And it was showing sort of water spinning up, but there was a whirlwind, and the teacher asked the boys what it was, and everyone raised their hands, and everybody gave the wrong answer, and I was the last one who was asked, and I gave the right answer, and that happened again and again whenever sort of a question was asked. And many of the boys would raise their two fingers. That was the way to say that they would like to answer. I would invariably be the last one to ask. If no one else knew the answer, then I would be asked. And many times I somehow felt when I did give the answer, the teacher was somewhat disappointed that I gave the right answer. I sensed that.
Was there any... anti-Semitism that you were aware of between the boys? Polish boys anti-Semitic towards the Jewish boys?
No, I wasn't aware of that. I had friends. We used to go play football and go skating. And I didn't feel that. I felt it more from the teacher, the older teachers. But on the way to school, there were invariably fights. I would be attacked by bigger boys, and I had either to run away or to fight back. I had to weigh up the situation.
Were these anti-Semitic attacks? Were these Polish boys attacking you?
Polish boys attacking me.
Would they call you names? Or?
Yes, Jew to Palestine. That was the first thing that you learned in Lodge. Again and again, Jew, go to Palestine, and your cup would be grabbed off your hand and thrown into the gutter. And it was safer to go with a number of friends. First of all, well, I was in a kind of a uniform, which was from an expensive school, so that was already one of the reasons why the sort of poorer boys would attack you, because you were dressed in a different uniform. You were safe when you were in a group. But the attacks were usually because you were Jewish, and usually when you were on your own, you'd be attacked by 2 or 3 bigger boys. And you always had to weigh up the situation. Is it better to hit back, or is it better to run?
Would this be discussed?
And that was a daily occurrence.
Would it be discussed at home, the anti-Semitism? Would you relate this story?
I realized that nobody can protect me from it. I cannot ask. I was not the youngest, and I was not the oldest, and I preferred that in a way. I became sort of streetwise in a way. I had friends, and we would walk in groups, in gangs. We didn't do anything, we didn't. But it was just safer to go to the cinema in a group.
Would any warnings be given at home by your parents about being out alone or how to react if you
were? No, not really. No. No, I had to learn myself. I realized that I cannot share these problems with my father or my mother. I wouldn't see much of my father. He worked late and long hours, and I didn't see very much of him. And I somehow sensed it, that this is a problem I have to cope with myself or with my friends. But it was the only thing that was frightening and worrying me. That life was good, everything was plentiful, but there was that danger of going out, which you had to walk to school, going to the cinema and so on, and invariably be involved in some fight, and sometimes very vicious fights. But somehow I managed to. I was quick, and I could sense, and I knew what to do. Now and then I would hit back, punch the other boy in the stomach, kick, and then run, because there would always be another boy and another boy, and it was dangerous not to do it.
You mentioned that financially your family was comfortably well off.
Yes.
Could you explain the situation in a comparative way between the Jewish population in Lodz and the Polish population in terms of economics?
Lodz, the total population, I would say, was over 1 million people, and the Jewish population was between 250,000 and 300,000. And the vast majority of the textile businesses were in Jewish hands. And many of the buildings, the property, belonged to Jews. But there were many very poor Jewish people. There was what Bałuty, which was equivalent to the East End of London. There was great poverty. There were thousands of Jewish people living on the brink of poverty. At the same time, you had many very wealthy Jewish textile manufacturers, mainly. And the anti-Semitism was. And there were Germans. They might have represented the Volksdeutsch. They might have represented maybe 10% of the population. But I couldn't tell the difference between a German and a Pole before the war. I could tell the difference between the Jews and non-Jews. And the non-Jews, the Polish Catholic, could invariably tell who was Jewish. Not only when they were wearing the special long, dresses with the very religious ones.
Hasidic.
Hasidic. But anybody whose hair was not blonde, was darker, or some Poles who were not blonde, who had darker hair, were mistaken for Jews quite often, and were attacked by other Poles who thought that they were Jews.
Why do you think the Poles were anti-Semitic in such an open way?
Difficult to know. Jealousy played a part. Poles were very patriotic, and the Jews couldn't. Although Jewish people were in Poland from the 11th or 12th century, they never, few of them, really assimilated. First of all, they were not accepted. They didn't own land. Although it wasn't against the law, but any Jew who would buy a farm outside Lodz would probably have been murdered. He couldn't do it. The other farmers or peasants would probably kill him. It was just a dangerous thing to do. So the Jews had to deal with money, and somehow the textile industry was in Jewish hands to a large extent. It was also partly in German hands earlier on, but then more and more Jews bought up. So it was partly jealousy, but on the other hand there were so many very poor Jews who were hated just as much, if not more, than the rich Jews. So that would not be the answer, that because the Jews were rich. That was not the answer. Some Poles were extremely rich, those that had the big landlords.
Were there very definite Jewish areas where the Jewish population would live?
There were the poorest area, but where we lived was not. In the building where we were, the few apartments, there were Jewish people living. But the next door, the buildings next door, were not. So it wasn't. We never lived in a predominantly Jewish area. When you had the Jewish population comprised 25-30%, they were concentrated in the very poor area to a large extent, and there were some no-go areas where the Polish people would be afraid to go because there were the tough Jews who would beat them up if they came there. So there were no-go areas for those areas. I would be afraid to go there as well. But there were also no-go areas. There were many areas where after dark it was very dangerous to go. The police carried guns. On a Friday night, it was very dangerous to walk anywhere in Lodz, except in the main street, Piotrkowska Street, which is like Oxford Street.
And this level of active anti-Semitism was accepted?
This level of active anti-Semitism, when you say was accepted, what do you mean by accepted? It was resented by the Jewish people, but there seemed, what was there to be done about it? You see,
was it seen as surprising, or was it seen as fairly normal? Does the Jewish population expect the Poles to be anti-Semitic?
I don't know how to answer that, because there were many Jews who would get on very well with the Poles, you know, on personal level and business level and so on. But it was usually you were attacked by strangers. You were not attacked by the Polish boys or people that you knew. You were attacked by strangers. And when you had Polish friends, they were very good friends, and you got on very well with them. But anti-Semitism was... some Jews would say it's in their blood. You know, there were those sort of expressions, which didn't explain it.
When
and
did
if you
you
look at the Jewish history, the background, and the Polish history, the Poles had to fight against the Russians, the Black Knights, which were the Germans, the Czechs, the Latvian, and so on. And the Jews couldn't feel so patriotic about it. No matter how long they lived in Poland, they could not feel so patriotic about Poland as the Poles did. And that was one, you know, there was a saying, if you're not with us, you're against us. You couldn't, the Jews were more liberal. They wanted to live. You couldn't be an outsider as you can be in England. In England, you can be an outsider. You don't have to vote for Labour. You don't have to vote for Conservatives. You can be liberal, or you can say, I'm not interested in politics, and be quite open about it. And it will not, you will not be considered a traitor because of it. You're a human being. The word democracy was unknown. You had to be to pretend. You were very strongly patriotic. Poland was a very new country. It was only 20 years when the war started. And therefore, imagine you are somewhere surrounded by enemies, and therefore everyone is on edge, and you have to protect yourself.
What was your first knowledge of what was happening in Germany, of Hitler and anti-Semitism and Hitler's policies towards Jewish people?
Well, I used to Hitler's read the papers. There was an express, there was a probably similar standard to the express here, and there were the Sunday papers, and I used to read them from an early age, and there were always terrible stories about the Gestapo and about what was going on in Germany. And the newsreels about Hitler's speeches and the anti-Semitism. And Göring came to Poland to hunt him for some of the Polish ministers. And that was, of course, it was frightening. My mother would listen to Moscow radio every night, 10 o'clock, and that was very dangerous. My mother's sympathy, although we were well off, my mother felt that the rescue, the salvation, will come from Russia. And she listened to the news from Moscow every night, although the reception was very bad, you know, deliberately. They were interfering with the